It's a beautiful golf Saturday here in Pittsburgh. I may or may not have been trying to golf instead of being here, which is why the delay. But we welcome you in on this beautiful day. And finally, we get a day like this. We get a Saturday like this to enjoy the game that so many love. After the slogging through drizzle or rain on a weekend or freezing on a weekend. Sure, it's a little cold this morning, but come on, you know it's going to get to 70. So you put on a layer, you tee off, and you go. You know, this is time for me. So when I really first started playing, and I was in high school, and there were a couple times a year. So we lived in Pennsylvania. We lived in Mercer County. And my father would go every Saturday morning. He'd get up, you know, he was in the Air Force for a while, so, 0500. And he'd get up at that time and drive an hour and a half to this course in Ohio called Sugar Bush. And man, I'm slogging out of bed. I mean, I'm a teenager. I'm just like, oh, okay. And I would get up just enough to get dressed and then try to fall back asleep in the car as we drove there. But this course, hilly course, and first he was elevated and it went through a little valley and often there was fog. So you'd hit that first tee shot and you really didn't know. I mean, you'd have a feel if you hit it well, but you weren't exactly sure. And we walked. So, you know, Dad and the uncles had pull carts. I carried clubs. And so we would walk out and you would look around and you're like, okay, I think my ball's around here. And that's where you learn to carry an extra ball in your pocket, because the rule was on those days, you hit your tee shot and you go look for a couple of minutes, but you're not going to back people up. If it's not there, you put it where you think it might have been, boom, you keep going. But that was really the only variation of the rule. Because when we would play, I mean, may have been a few pretzels on the line in those matches. And, you know, you get a little bit deeper into your teen years and you get a little cocky. Like, okay, I want to play. I want a part of this. Well, you learned a couple of valuable lessons. One is that your uncles or your dad wasn't going to give you a break. So if you're going to get in on a money game, like, you better have money. I may or may not have had to ask for a loan, which was paid back, because that was a big stipulation that had to happen. It was eye-opening when the money's on the line, how it changes, especially the last couple of holes when it's tight and it's getting down to it. But it was a lot of fun. But the other thing I learned is what the rules are about. And I think that's a bigger picture thing that I love about golf and that golf can teach us. And there's a number of lessons, but the different rules, like when we played, there was no fluffing your ball up in the rough. There was no, don't worry, just move it from behind that tree. Like, you would have that shot. If you're a right-hander, you would have that shot where the ball is up against a tree, and if where you were a lefty, you might be able to hit it, but as a righty, there's no way. Well, you do that thing where you put the club down the right side of you, and you just do that backward swing to try to get it out. We did that stuff. There was no moving the ball. Like, you're playing, everybody's playing the same rules. That's how you measure yourself. You played off a bare lie. You played when it's deep in a rough. You played when it was, now if it's fairway, you could move it. So you could take it out of a divot because you were rewarded for being on the fairway. There were no summer rules. But you learn some tough lessons. You get a fried egg in the bunker, you play it. You have a bad lie, you could drop it for a stroke. and you learn some of the strategy of the game. Like, okay, I'm a couple shots up, depending on the game that was being played. Do you lay back? I mean, that's some of the things to me that I loved about those opportunities and to learn those type of lessons. I mean, there are the other lessons of golf. Like, let's be real. And it is the Fan Going Low Golf Show. Jeff Hathorn, 4K Oberger. You feel great. You're on the range. You're hitting it a mile. Or you're hitting it straight or both. You feel like, oh, okay, I've been putting in the house. And I got that stroke down. And then you get out on the course and it, man, it is nothing like you thought. Or you get some bad luck. And as such, it really shows what it means in life. You know, there are days where you feel like you have a perfect day and something out of your control changes it. Well, no one knew that that obstacle was going to be in your way, or that the rain was going to come, or the wind was going to blow that ball out of the area, or out of the, you know, not where it was supposed to be. Who knew that tree limb was going to be there to knock a ball that was heading towards the green off? It's things you deal with in the game that makes it so special. And it truly is, there are life lessons to be learned, and a lot of sports, but this is a golf show, so we're talking about golf. You learn a lot of those type of lessons, and you learn about people and how they handle things. All good lessons for what should be happening and how you deal with various issues. That's what I learned. And then you learn some of the strategy of it. And, you know, the Jim Colony Golf Trail, which is basically North Park up to Butler. And that is a thing. Whether it's Pheasant Ridge or Lakeview North, or North Park Golf Course, or Pittsburgh North, or Pittsburgh National, or Suncrest. Any of those courses in that Colony Corridor. And one of the things I enjoy about those courses, you know, I know some people that are good, like, want something longer. I'm like, okay, play from the blues. Or, you know, I don't want to, when I get to a course, I don't want to just pull out driver every hole. That's boring. And there are courses like that. Like, there are some clubs, if you get a chance to play, where you have to hit driver every par four or five because they're just too long, even from the whites. But you get on some of those courses, and Pheasant Ridge has some great options off the first couple of holes. Like, you get a driver, you could try to drive the green, you could be a hero. You get a hybrid to where you've got a little wedge in, or maybe you hit iron off the tee. You got a little longer shot, but it's a safer play. Depending on what you're feeling or what you need to do or where your swing is at, you've got options. And that's what's, I think that's cool about the game and about really any course, depending on where the tee boxes are. But so people that look at it and say, oh, the short courses, I don't want to play those, or those aren't the ones, you know, I want to challenge myself more. You could challenge yourself on any course. And the different options that you have off the tee can define how well you play. You know, if you're not hitting your driver well, and it's a 320-yard par four, let's say, then why are you hitting your driver? You know, maybe you hit a hybrid well. Maybe you hit your three wood better. Maybe you hit a three or four iron better. Maybe you're an iron guy. Hit the iron. It's those thought processes in the game, and it's sometimes some of the things that can make the difference between you and somebody else. Just those mental little things. You know, Moon Golf Club, which is kind of the annex of the Colony Golf Trail. So there's this group in the North Hills, and then there's this one rogue place, boom, Moon. And if you've played there, And shout out to everyone, the Moon Golf Club. There are options. That first hole you could drive. You could also push it OB right. You could also go long. You could get into some troubles with the trees on the left. Or you could lay something out there and have a full swing in. Like, that's what's cool to me. Like, there are all these different things. Like, don't just get up on that first hole, pull out a driver, and go. So that's what, next time you're playing, think about something like that. Like those type of options. And what that could mean to your game. Like, think about it deeper than just, all right, I'm going to go for it. Think about where you should be and who you're, you know, what you want to get out of a certain round. If you're looking for a score, sometimes the iron off the tee is the better shot. Sometimes it's the wood. But a lot of times, it's playing just a different shot off. And yeah, there might be that one time you hit that hero drive. You're like, yeah, I want that again. It may not happen again. That may have been that 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000 shot. And if you keep playing for that, you might see those scores elevate. You know, this PGA Tour, by the way, is they're starting that stretch of the tour where you're getting into those big time events. You know, they're in Charlotte now. Charlotte's always attracted a lot of people. The Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow. I mean, these names change. You go from there to the Byron Nelson. Then you get into the PGA Championship. June, you get in, it's a Memorial Tournament, the Canadian Open, which is a kind of a hidden, really nice event, but you know, some of the big names will skip because they're getting ready for the next week, and the U.S. Open. Tyrrell Hatton leads at the Wells Fargo, along with Nate Lashley and Wyndham Clark. They're all at 8 under par. Xander Schauffele, J.J. Spahn are 7 under, along with Justin Thomas with the 67. And Adam Scott, also at 7 under. Tommy Fleetwood, who's a guy, man, that's someone you thought would win, have won more. Had a great swing. I mean, he's noticeable with that hair. But I'm surprised he hadn't won more. And, you know, he starts out with the 65, drops back now with the 71, but he's still in the top 10. Stuart Sink, who was the... He's the answer to the trivia question of, man, when Tom Watson should have won that Open Championship when he was 59 or 60 or whatever he was, who won it? It was Sink. Harris English is in a group at 5 under after a 66. And, you know, Patrick Cantlay now has Tiger Woods, Caddy Joe LaCava, he is at 4 under. Also at 4 under, Gary Woodland is a guy. Brendan Todd, the local, is at 3 under after a 68. Ricky Fowler is 3 under as well. You've seen so much a better swing path from Fowler, and he's starting to find his game. You know, it's frustrating. He's still noticeable. He's still one of the players on the PGA Tour with so many of the stars going over to the LIV that you want to see get back to where he was and better. You kind of hope that that happens. Right at the cut line, and the cut was at even. So anyone even or below, which includes Jason Day, Lucas Glover, there were some names that didn't make the cut in Charlotte. Those were a couple of the bigger ones, especially with the way Day has played this year. Colin Morikawa plus four in this event, but Rory McIlroy makes it at one under. Now, McIlroy had a 68 the first day, 73 yesterday, 68 on his birthday. He turns 34. And I give McIlroy a lot of credit because he's shouldered a lot of the PGA Tour, a lot of their issues. You know, he's been the spokesperson. When something has been wrong, Rory's kind of put it on his shoulders like, all right, I'm going to speak out about this, or I'm going to rip this guy, or I'm going to tell you why the PGA Tour is better. And that's not an easy position to be. The easy one to be is where you just don't say anything, or you're the guy that only talks after a round and not going to comment. But I've given him a lot of credit for Rory just stepping up and not being afraid to be that guy to answer those questions, to give insight and to give real opinion, because this thing is not going away between the two tours. Now, you kind of wonder, all right, when are these billionaires going to stop paying to have their own little private golf tour? But it doesn't seem like that's anytime soon, although the PGA keeps messing with them. You know, Taylor Gooch has won a couple straight on the LIV Tour. Obviously not the biggest name over on that tour. But now his status for the U.S. Open, which is at the L.A. Country Club, is uncertain because of a USGA rule change on exemptions which affect LIV golfers. So they're trying to, obviously under the influence of the PGA Tour, the USGA is now changing rules affecting LIV golfers. Like, what are we doing here? One of the great things with the Masters was, oh, wow, Koepka's here. Dustin Johnson's here. Like, there's some of those guys you miss. I don't care what you think about them. Even Mickelson, who's a phony, but he's popular because of the way he plays, and he knows how to play the game. Like, if you go to an event that Phil Mickelson's at, he's very conscious about what's around him. And, you know, he'll give you a nod. He'll give you a thumbs up. Might throw a ball to a kid. Sign some autographs. Like, he gets that part of it, which makes him popular. Plus, he's a go-for-it guy. And I think, like we were discussing with options off the tee, people love to see guys that can hit it that far. Just go for it. And that's Phil. Right or wrong, that's Phil. That's kind of how he's played. That's what's made him great. That's what keeps him going. Well, Phil is ticked about this. So Gooch qualified for the Tour Championship, but he was not eligible to play because of his defection from the PGA Tour. And if the PGA wants to have their own rules and they don't want to let these guys in, whatever. I mean, they could claim it's all about, you know, where this Saudi money is coming from, and that is questionable. I'm not going to get into that debate necessarily. They want to have their own rules, whatever. Now, the USGA then later ruled that both qualification and eligibility for the Tour Championship were necessary in order for a player to receive a U.S. Open exemption based on that event alone. So they're trying to screw him out. I mean, he's one of the best golfers, or he's at least one of the hottest golfers in the world right now. And Gooch told a podcast, the 73rd Hole podcast, that the rule change had caught him off guard, and he wasn't aware of this rule change. But why wouldn't the USGA do what the Masters has done? Like, PGA Championship, I get it. That's your name. PGA Championship. You want to just have PGA players, that's cool. That's fine. It's not like none of these LIV guys grew up through the PGA, but whatever, you can do your thing. But why wouldn't the USGA have their own rules and let the best golfers in the world compete for the U.S. Open Championship. Golf Week reported, based on a USGA spokesperson email, that the change was not made retroactively, but rather as a part of our annual review process and included within several other changes made to the criteria for the upcoming 2023 Open Championship. Basically, what that means is Gooch, who is a back-to-back winner on the tour, 60th in the world golf rankings. Again, not the best, but still good. Won't be able to play. USGA official says, anytime we make changes to our criteria going forward, it impacts somebody, and that stinks. But we can only go forward. That's your answer. Anytime we make changes to our criteria going forward, as if this wasn't made specifically to hose live golfers, it impacts somebody, and that stinks. But we can only look forward. That's what the USGA CEO said. Here's Mickelson's response. Quote, hey, Mike, what about changing a rule and making it retroactive to exclude someone who has already qualified? How can Taylor Gooch not take that personal? It's a direct attack on him and his career. How does it benefit the USGA or US Open? It doesn't. It's just a blank move. Mickelson went on to say, he qualified 9 months ago via the Tour Championship. 3 months ago, Juan changed the wording on the qualifying criteria to take it away. Again, a, quote, blank move by Juan. He leads our governing body. Sad. The words of Mickelson. I don't always agree with Mickelson. Hate the shades. Like, once he's been wearing these shades, it's like, okay, it's taken that thing to another level with his persona. And what he's doing, like some of that, like you can see right through it. But is he wrong on this? You win live golf events. It does not currently result in official world golf ranking points for participating players. So that 60th ranking has nothing to do with live. So really, the only time for him to earn points would have been something in the past. Like, he can't go and earn points because he's playing on the LIV Tour. So he can't move up in the world rankings. He can't go play and win a PGA event because he's not allowed. So now the USGA just wants to hose LIV guys. Is that what's best for the game? Like, when I saw those guys, and I guess I didn't realize, because either the LIV events, and they're on the CW and you can catch them, they're easy to find. But I don't know if in those events, like if I'm, I guess I didn't realize how much I missed some of those players. Like seeing Dusty, even DeChambeau, I think, is kind of a lot like Phil from a phony standpoint, but he hits it a mile and people are interested in him. And in seeing Koepka, even a Sergio, you know, seeing those guys back seemed right. And it didn't seem like the PGA guys, at least on the surface, were all that ticked off by what was going on. It was just it just felt like it was the right thing to do. And for local fans here. I mean, we saw Dustin Johnson in the U.S. Open, so that's someone that Pittsburghers can identify with as a champion from here. Damn, I want to see those guys all play in the majors together. Again, PGA, because you got the name there, I get it. That's cool. Whatever. But, and talking about this event and major championships, why is there a fear that the LIV guys are going to win and show that maybe they're better? I mean, don't you think John Rahm wants to compete against the best? I think he does. I don't think Justin Thomas is scared of anybody or Jordan Spieth or Rory. Give them the opportunity to compete against the best. And as much as I love the Ryder Cup, or even the President's Cup to a lesser extent, but the Ryder Cup's got the history and there seems to be genuine emotion between these two sides. Give me a LIV PGA Tour Ryder Cup every week. That's something I could get into. LIV versus PGA Tour, what kind of ratings do you think that would get? Especially if Phil like opened up his mouth about something. Sparked a little something. I mean, come on. How is this not happening? I got to imagine the LIV guys want it to happen. Can't tell me take the top 10-15 from the PGA Tour and the top 10-15 from the LIV Tour and have a tournament. You don't think you can make money from that? You guarantee the money, which is what these guys want. You just take 30 of them and you go, you could play it anywhere. Go play it at the Bob. Play it at Oakmont, at Butler, at wherever. I don't care. You'd make a killing off that. You'd make a killing off that tournament, and we'd all want to see it. It's kind of like the wrestling when one group breaks off. If that was like real, not orchestrated competition, you wouldn't want to see that. I mean, that's the one you... That's what you want to see. Let's get this done. Stephen Ames and David Toms lead at the Champions, PGA Champions event in Georgia. Bernhard Langer continues to go after the Champions Tour record of 46 wins. He's 65. He's still going. But, yeah, not so much going great in this event for the German. As we look at that leaderboard, it's Ames and Toms. Lee Jansen is at a group a shot back at 6 under. Miguel Angel Jimenez is 5 under. And oh, wait, there's Bernhard. Just a couple of shots back at 65. And you watch him play. Man, this dude still has game. In the top 10, here are a few guys you know. Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, speaking of Pittsburgh and champions, and Davis Love at 4 under. If Vijay Singh, so covered the memorial for a couple of years over in Columbus, and we get done, and back in the day, we'd get done with the round, I don't know, it'd be like 6, 6:30, whatever. You'd finish your stories or edit your audio. And they had a media area, and they would roll in after it was pastime. They would roll in a keg. So we'd go back there and have one and then head home. And you had to walk where we parked. You walked around the driving range there. You kind of went the whole circle of it. And there was this one tee area in the back of the range where you kind of hit forward, just a private area. I don't know. Maybe Nicholas used that when he was there, or some member liked it back there. They just wanted to be by themselves. And you'd hear this whoosh, I can't do a golf sound very well, but you get my point. And it was Vijay Dam Singh. I mean, the sun is like well on its way to being gone. And there's Vijay. Boom, boom, boom. It didn't matter where he was in the tournament. He was hitting balls, which is probably why his back was so screwed up. But man, that guy worked and worked and worked and worked. Hit a group at 3 under, tied for 14th. Jeff Maggart, who's just like got the prettiest swing ever. If you've never seen it, like look it up on YouTube. Look up Jeff Maggart's swing. It was unreal. Steve Stricker and Colin Montgomery in a group at 2 under at the Champions Tour event. And Rocco is 1 under par, tied for 32nd with Chris DeMarco. If you remember the old 84 Lumber Classic, I think DeMarco won that one year, or at least was in contention. I remember his name. Darren Clark is in a group at even par. Jim Furyk is plus one at the Champions Tour event. So Tiger lost his caddy. Not that it was a breakup where there was some issue where Tiger fired his, well, his guy wants to make some cash. So Joe LaCava has been hired by Patrick Cantlay because, you know, Tiger's dealing with that fusion surgery on his right ankle. And I think that's what, you know, when Tiger was really hot and it seemed like he was not only going to beat Nicklaus's major record, but like lap it. He was the most feared probably athlete for a couple of years in their sport. The red shirt came out. Like it was over when the red shirt came out. Tiger's still recovering from that surgery. His buddy Justin Thomas said it's pretty much Groundhog Day for him. And he's trying to work his way back. And what Tiger wanted was his caddy to go make some money. You don't know when he's going to return, when that might happen. But he set the game up in a really good spot. And he's made it good not just for guys nationally, but locally. And speaking of which, the Tri-State PGA event, that happened this week, and I was looking through some of the scores. And you see some names, the Joe Burrows and Susie Burrows, and looking through, and John Aber, Mike Van Sickle and Gary Van Sickle, Jim Colony. Wait. Mike Van Sickle, Gary Van Sickle, Jim Colony, and Jim Perka. They didn't win their event, which I don't know how that doesn't happen. To watch Mike hit a golf ball. Gary's a good player. Jim, you must have let your guys down. That was just one of the events this week of the Tri-State PGA. Their season is really ramping up. The Sonny Hanna Pro 3 Amateur comes up on May 8th. Then the Mercer County Tourism Pro-Am, which is May 15th and 16th. And that is at a pair of clubs. At Tam O'Shanter Golf Club and also at Grove City Country Club. That's May 15th and 16th. There's still time to get in on that. Gym Classic at Westmoreland Country Club, the DSG Tri-State Amateur Championship at Quicksilver, the Head Pro Assistant Pro Championship. That'll round out the month for the Tri-State PGA, and they do such a great job. Those pros don't get enough attention. We were going to talk, but as you can tell, we had some technical issues earlier and unable to work the phone lines right now. So we were going to talk to John Cairns, who owns Tam O'Shanter, and it is part of the Penn Ohio Golf Trail. And it may be something you never really heard of. Like, most of these golf trails, it's something where you go back, you know, you got to get on an airplane or you're driving long distances to head down to wherever. And listen, they're beautiful. The weather's great, especially if you're going in the winter. But there's also one that's close. Like, the courses are within, depending on where you live in Pittsburgh, anywhere from a half hour to 2 hours for these courses. And some really interesting, different tracks. Tam O'Shanter is one of those places that's unique because it's first hole you could drive. But there are tight trees. So do you lay back into a tight green? It's a fun course to play. It's affordable to play. And it's only an hour away. And part of this track, and you could get golf packages in this track, where you could stay overnight a couple of nights. And then your drive back home is an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I mean, part of this group is Pine Lakes and Hubbard, Youngstown Country Club, Trumbull Country Club. Old Stonewall is part of that because they're a little farther north. Avalon Lakes in Warren, Avalon Lakes, which is Squaw Creek in Vienna, the Old Newcastle Country Club, which is now the Avalon Field Club, and the Avalon Buell Park, which is the old Sharon Country Club, which is a great course. It's not too crazy long, but it's got some challenges. Tam O'Shanter's in that group. Yankee Run, which is another kind of hidden, nice golf course. Reserve Run in Poland. Oak Tree Country Club in West Middlesex. Oak Tree was a gem. When I was a kid, I went there. My father had a membership through his work. And all of a sudden, there was this buzz. And we were getting ready to start. And on 10, teeing off, was Mario Lemieux and Dan Marino. We didn't bother them. We just saw them. But that tells you the level of course and the layout that we're talking about at Oak Tree. Tam O'Shanter has some really unique holes. The links at Firestone, if you're looking to play 36 real quick, Mill Creek in Boardman, and it's a Donald Ross course, and it's in a park in Boardman, and it is challenging. Let me tell you. You might think, oh, it's a Muni course. Listen, this place opened almost 100 years ago. And it's sweet. It's tough. If you like length, Mill Creek might be the place for you. And again, these places are affordable and they're close. Knoll Run Golf Course in Lowellville, or the golf course in Cortland, Castle Hills in Newcastle. Salem Hills Country Club. And the one course that's part of this trail that's really unique, and you could find different hotel packages up there, is Boulder Creek. And if you've driven the Ohio Turnpike, maybe you've gone up to a Browns-Steelers game or to Steelers playing or somebody in Pittsburgh, you're heading to Detroit and you're going on the Turnpike and you see, oh man, that course looks amazing. It's just past Warren, and you see this course, you're like, oh man, I got to play that someday. That's Boulder Creek. And I haven't played it. I've only seen it from the highway and had those exact same thoughts of like, one of these times, I'm going to stop there at that place. Well, that's part of this trail. And you could find more information at PennOhioGolfTrail.com. And it shows you the courses, it shows you the deals, it shows you the places that you can stay. And it's part of the, you know, you want to get away, or maybe you just want a day trip, something that's a little different. You've played the courses around here. You're looking for something just, and you could check the different levels of how you want to challenge yourself or what you want to pay. But I'm telling you, these courses, there's nothing, some are more top end than others. And obviously, I mean, you'll pay for some amenities, but it's a different look. And with, I mean, the highways, it's pretty easy. Just turnpike, do 376, boom, you're up in Sharon. Or you take the turnpike over and boom, you're in Youngstown. And you could see some of these courses, but tell you what, I've played the Buell Park, I've played Tam O'Shanter, I've played Mill Creek, all those courses a few times. And it's cool. And if you go to the Grove City one, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Rick Dayton, that was his course growing up. There's probably plaques all over the place from the mammoth drives that he hit and the incredibly low scores that he had. But there are a lot of really cool golf courses. We appreciate you listening to the Going Low Golf Show today. Jeff Hathorne in for Cale Berger. It's been an interesting morning. Interesting to hear what Phil had to say.